do that for me?
Yeah, he's already on the agenda.
No, I don't. He has the prompts to do it on page.
Oh, no, this is the recording for the voice.
Oh.
This is what they record.
Not very good at technology. Maybe. No, he has a sheet with the prompts. Maybe just introduce myself. I'm Kai, and I pastored a church in Mississauga many, many moons ago. One of the first English pastors in Mississauga. And it's great to be back in the city. I live in Markham now, so it's kind of a trek to come here. I think last time I came here, I gave out a book. Do you guys still, I don't know who you read it, or Seven Discoveries? But I don't have a book to give you, but I can give you something else. I have a series of discipleship materials and also outreach materials and music videos. It's all online now. So if you write down the number 2, oasis.ca, 2oasis.ca, it's like you're going to an oasis in Canada, all right? And you're going to oasis.ca, that's the website. And hopefully you enjoy that, and share it with your friends. That's what I've been doing during COVID. Got bored. Anyways, about 8 years ago, on December the 1st, 2015, 8 or 9 years ago, Jeff Merrick and Gret Wyszynski were two radio personalities, and they started a campaign as a joke. And the joke was that they were going to vote in the most unlikely candidate to play in the All-Star game in the NHL. I don't know if you guys follow hockey, but they chose this guy that was not very skillful. He was there basically as a goon, or as a person who beats up the opponent. And he's not known for his hockey skills. And so they chose a guy named John Scott. And John Scott, you know, I think in all the NHL, he's only scored like 5 goals in his whole career. And he certainly was not an all-star. And some even question whether he belongs in the NHL. You know, he just doesn't belong. I wonder if you ever had that situation, question, whether you belong or not. Do you belong? Do you really belong in the kingdom of God? Do you really belong in the church? Maybe you have asked of yourself that there are many places to go and you feel like you just don't belong. I mean, sometimes I get invited to, as a guest, to play on a golf club, and you're not a member, you kind of feel like you're just a visitor. You don't belong. And I know even members who are members, are paid members, but they just don't feel like they belong. Who really belongs in the kingdom of God? Do you belong in the kingdom of God? Are you part of the kingdom, or are you not part of the kingdom? And what do we mean by that? Believe that the key of understanding the kingdom of God is in Matthew chapter 13. Before Matthew 13, there were 12 chapters, Matthews 1 to 12. And Jesus taught what we call propositional truth or expositional truth with illustrations. He just taught what was truth. But in chapter 13, Jesus taught taught in a way he never taught before. He spoke, in this point, parables. Why all of a sudden Jesus became a storyteller? And this is Matthew 13. And let's look at that. It reveals the secrets of the kingdom. First of all, there's the mystery of the kingdom. In verse 1, it says this: that day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him. And he got into a boat and sat in it. And all the people stood on the shore. And he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. And as he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But the sun came up, and the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seeds fell on good soil, where it produced a crop, 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let him hear. Now, what Jesus did was he told a parable about the kingdom. The story was a parable. A parable is a picture painted with words. It's a picture painted with words. It's a story that laid alongside a truth, revealing parallel realities. In math, a parabola is made up of two curved lines perfectly near each other. Now, the story was a mystery. Now, this does not mean that it's a whodunit, and you kind of get revealed in the end. A mystery is a truth that was hidden, but now it's explained through revelation. The story was about the kingdom. The seed was the message about the kingdom of God. And the hidden truth about the kingdom is now to be revealed. The parable was given in the context of a very busy day. You have to understand what happened in chapter 12 to understand chapter 13. That same day, Jesus went out to the house and sat by the lake, it said. That same day, it was on the Sabbath day, on the way to synagogue, when the Pharisees criticized Jesus' disciples for picking heads of grain and eating them while they were going through the grain fields. That was in chapter 12, verse 1. In verse 10, it was at the synagogue Jesus asked if it was lawful to heal on the Sabbath, and then he healed a man with a withered hand. In verse 15, in chapter 12, after the visit of the synagogue, many followed Jesus and healed all who needed healing. So Jesus was doing all this healing, and then he healed a demon-possessed man in verses 22 to 24. And a man who was blind and mute, and he was largely criticized by the Pharisees. And verse 33, the Pharisees suggested that Jesus cast out demons by the power of demons. And Jesus said, "Who he is not with me is against me." Jesus, in verse 33, talks about a tree that's known by its fruit, and a good tree with good fruit, and the bad tree by its bad fruit. The scribes and Pharisees asked Jesus for a sign, and Jesus gave them that there will be no sign except the sign of Jonah. And also in verse 46, Jesus then were speaking to the crowds in the house when his mother and brothers came to see him. Now this day, all that has gone on in the day. And by that time, by the time that Jesus talked about this parable, man, it's late. It's late. I mean, in a few hours, the sun's going down. It's probably about this time of day. And the story that Jesus told was not a thriller. I mean, understand, it was a story about a farmer who went to seed some seeds. Some fell on the path, some birds ate it up. Some fell in rocky places and didn't have much soil, and it sprang up and it kind of died when the sun came up. Other seeds fell on the thorns, among thorns, and it was choked by the plants. And other seeds were fell on good ground. I mean, this was not a thriller. And then Jesus said something that was interesting. He says, whoever has ears, let him hear. It's not the people in first century did not have ears. That's not what it meant. What Jesus was saying is, you have ears, but are you listening? You think you know everything and have nothing to learn. You've nothing to learn, but if you have nothing to learn, you will learn nothing. The people can listen, criticize, thumbs up, thumbs down, you know, and make a judgment and walk away. But if you want to learn, you want to hear, you have to listen. You have to listen. There are two meanings of the kingdom here in the New Testament. One is the universal physical kingdom where God rules. What is the kingdom? It is, we are all part of the universal kingdom of God. If you're alive, you're breathing, everyone is part of God's kingdom. The other is a spiritual kingdom. There's a group of people on this earth who identify themselves outwardly and inwardly with the kingdom of God. With the kingdom of God. What Jesus taught us, remember he taught us to pray, we sang it, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Heaven refers to God's rule and reign in our universe and earth. But it can refer also to the present kingdom where his people are subjects. So, who are God's people? Are you part of God's people or not? Now, the secrets of the kingdom. The disciples came to Jesus and they said, Jesus, what is this all about? Like, I don't get it. Like, when he told that story, they really didn't get it. And the disciples came, why do you speak to people in parables? Let me give you two reasons. But Jesus spoke in parables. Two reasons. First of all, to conceal the truth. He replied, because the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. Whoever will be given more, they will have an abundance. And whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken away from them. This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You shall be ever hearing and never understanding. You shall ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become callous, and they hardly hear with their ears. They have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes and hear with their ears. See, there's so much you can hear about the kingdom of God. You could hear a story about the farmer and not really understand the truth about the kingdom. You can hear about God's kingdom of heaven sometime in the future, but miss the reality of the here and now. They miss the reality that God's true children are subjects of the kingdom. Here's my question to you. Outwardly, you can look like you're part of the kingdom. You come to church every week. But inwardly, are you part of the kingdom? The subjects of the kingdom, he says, will be thrown out into outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Just because you are part of God's general kingdom does not mean that you're part of God's special kingdom, the spiritual kingdom. Jesus actually, after this, taught parables. And here are the parables that he taught. Parable of the wheat and the weeds. You see, the wheat and the weeds, those who are saved, those who are not saved. The parable of the net, the parable of the 10 virgins, the parable of the talents, the parable of the sheep and the goats. Are you a sheep or are you a goat? So there is this idea that many times, you know, we are part of God's kingdom. We think we're part of God's kingdom when we're not. You may be going to church. You may be coming here for most of your life. And you really don't know. You're not really part of the kingdom. You really don't get it. You've heard all the messages. And you are not saved. That is the problem. So Jesus spoke in this parable, and they just don't get it. I can imagine a farmer. Can you imagine a farmer that went out to hear Jesus? Honey, I'm going to go and listen to this guy. I heard he's really good, and he's healing people. He's making the blind see. I want to go hear him. So he gets to the front row at the lake, and he sees Jesus on a boat. And Jesus tells about his story. So dear, what did Jesus say? I don't know. I don't understand, because he didn't say anything that was really new. I mean, he talked about planting seeds, and of course some fell on hard ground, some fell on thorny ground, and some fell on good soil. And it was like nothing new that I know. Like, I knew all that. So what did he really say? Well, it just didn't make sense to me. And it concealed a truth. But the second reason why Jesus talked in parables was to reveal the truth. One was to conceal the truth for some. They just didn't get it. But for others, Jesus said in verse 16, "But blessed are your eyes because they see, your ears because they hear. And truly I tell you, many prophets and righteous people long to see what you did not see, but did not see it, to hear what you hear, but did not hear it. The secrets of the kingdom I've given to you." And he's talking to his disciples. The parables were given so that the saints of God will see through his revelation. The story was more about just the farmer sowing seeds. The truth is revealed that real sons and daughters of God are part of his spiritual kingdom. They see and they hear and they understand the truth. They understand the kingdom and the prophets. The prophets long to see. They are part of the kingdom through repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. You can seem like you're part of God's kingdom, but can you see your way? But are you on the way? Are you a sheep or a goat? Or are you on the way to hell? It's interesting, the John Scott story. What happened in John Scott started as a joke, became awkward reality, because many people on the radio station started voting for him. Many people started to, yeah, that's fun. Let's vote in John Scott. The not-so-talented hockey player was voted in the All-Star. And for 2 months before the All-Star game, there was much debate as to whether John Scott should play on the team. Whether he belonged or not, whether he even belonged in the NHL. But now he's playing with elite players. Would he be embarrassed by showing up? Would he be embarrassed? And the league officials tried to pressure him not to play in the All-Star game. And here's what happened. They publicly humiliated him, and one official even questioned if his kids would be proud of him for playing in the game. They even had him traded and sent his wife and his family, who were expecting twin girls, and his two girls, you know, to the minors in Newfoundland somewhere, hoping that it would all go away. But the public outcry just made them stop it. And John Scott ended up playing in the All-Star game. The decline of whether we belong or not will continue to be part of our journey. We will all examine ourselves to see whether we belong in the kingdom or not. So finally, the experience of the kingdom, whether you belong in the kingdom or not. Jesus explained the meaning of the parable. He explained it to his disciples. He said in verse 18, listen to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone who hears the message about the kingdom of God does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches it away and was sown in their heart. This is the seed sown along the path. The seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receiving it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only for a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. And the seed falling among the thorns refer to someone who hears the word, but the worries of his life and deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. But the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word, understands it, and the one who produces a crop yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. The seed is about the kingdom of God, and everybody hears it. Every one of you hear the word of God. Every one of you, every Sunday, hears the word. There's no difference. You all hear it. But the seed on the path, it's the guy who hears the word and the evil one takes the message away. You kind of hear it, oh, that's nice. And once you walk out the door, it's gone. The seed on the stony ground is the second guy who hears the word and receives it with joy. Ah, yes, this is good. But the shallow, it's shallow in his heart and loses the message when difficulty comes. There are difficulties come in your life. You kind of throw out the word of God. The seed on the thorny ground is the one, third guy who hears the word, gets wrapped up in the affairs of the world. You've got this going on, you've got that going on, and no more. The word of God. But the good soil, it's the fourth guy. We want to be in the good soil, right? You want to be the good soil. And if you are the good soil, you produce fruit 100 times, 60 times, 30 times. You're the good soil. If you are the good soil. See, the key is not whether which soil you are, but whether you're producing fruit or not. Are you producing fruit? Are you producing fruit? What kind of fruit are you producing? What kind of spiritual fruit are you producing? Because that is what's key. All the others, whether it's thorny ground, the hard path, stony ground, they're not producing fruit. So the key is whether you're fruitful or fruitless. Those who understand the parable and the message of the kingdom produces fruit. Those who do not are fruitless. Jesus said, he who is against is not with me is against me. He who does not gather with me scatters. Therefore I tell you, any sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven people, but blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven. Whoever speaks a word against the Son of Man, it will be forgiven him. But whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit, it shall not be forgiven him, either in this age or the age to come. Either you are the tree, good, and its fruit is good, or you make a tree bad, and its fruit bad. For the tree is known by its fruit. How do you know? How do you know a person? Jesus said, by the fruit you will know them. You're either with Jesus in his kingdom in this age and the age to come, or you're against him. His kingdom in this age and the age to come. You're either fruitful or fruitless. You see, people of the kingdom understands the word of God and are fruitful. Get that? Good, repeat after me. People who are in the kingdom of God are fruitful.
People in the kingdom of God are fruitful.
They understand the word of God and they're fruitful.
They understand the word of God and they're fruitful.
Are you a kingdom person?
Are you a kingdom person?
You don't need to repeat that. But you will know by the fruit. You will know by the fruit. People of the kingdom understand the word of God and are fruitful. Do you understand the message of the kingdom is about being fruitful? John Scott was finally welcomed at the All-Star Game. During the game, the fans actually, when he was introduced, gave him a standing ovation. Like, this is bizarre. He said, I'm not taking it for granted. This is super cool. This is overwhelming for me, and I really enjoy it. And he enjoyed the fanfare and enjoyed the luxury of being at an All-Star game. Now, during the game, he didn't embarrass himself. He actually scored 2 goals and was voted the MVP, most valuable player, for the game. And he lived a dream in a dream game. And he basically said, you can't write this stuff. You can't write this stuff. And it was a fairy tale ending for a guy who was voted in but without all the credentials. And sometimes I wonder if the kingdom of God is really like John Scott at an All-Star game. We may not deserve to be in the kingdom except by grace, but we will enjoy the experience, not taking anything for granted. We will receive the unexpected blessing beyond our dreams. When we are part of his kingdom, we will understand his word and produce fruit. Let's pray. Father, we come before you and we thank you for your word. Lord, sometimes your word just kind of escapes us. If there's anyone here who's not producing fruit, may your spirit just speak to them and draw them closer to you. And Lord, let us produce fruit for your sake, for your kingdom's sake. And let us glorify you in all that we do and say. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.